Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for June 21st, 2016. I'm Annalisa VanHook, and today I'm talking with Stuart Yuspa about how activation of the receptor tyrosine kinase MET stimulates the formation of squamous cell carcinoma. The tyrosine kinase MET is also known as the hepatocyte growth factor receptor because it's activated by binding to hepatocyte growth factor, or HGF. MET is on the surface of epithelial cells, and HGF is made by mesenchymal cells. This is important during development when signals from mesenchymal cells regulate the proliferation and the differentiation of neighboring epithelial cells. HGF-MET signaling is also important for regulating stem cells in various tissues. Aberrant MET activation has been implicated in several types of cancer, including squamous cell carcinoma. A new study from Stuart Yuspa's group at the National Cancer Institute used a mouse model of increased HGF-MET signaling to explore how MET activation promotes the growth and development of squamous cell tumors. Yuspa talked to me by telephone about the work. Dr. Yuspa, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thank you.
What does HGF-MET signaling do in a normal context? Not in cancer, but in a normal cell.
HGF-MET complex has a rather unique biology in that the receptor kinase itself has only a single ligand, HGF. And in the normal context, in particularly in embryonic development, the activation of MET is extremely important for organ development, particularly placentation, for growth of the liver, for muscles, because it has the capability of not only stimulating proliferation, but of also stimulating migration. In the adult, because of its ability to cause both migration, proliferation, and also to stimulate angiogenesis, it plays an important role in wounding of many organs, including the skin, the liver, and other organs as well.
How is MET thought to promote tumor growth and cancer progression?
So in normal tissues, generally HGF is expressed in one cell population in the stroma, that is in the fibroblast support system, whereas the receptor itself is expressed on epithelial cells. In cancer, often the cancer cells will make both the receptor and the ligand, which leads to a cell autonomous stimulation. And just like MET works on normal cells to stimulate proliferation and migration, both extremely important in cancer development, it also stimulates angiogenesis, the growth of blood vessels, the growth of lymphatic vessels as well. And all of these are extremely important in cancer development. And even if HGF is in the stroma of the tumor, which it is, it can stimulate the tumor cells to produce these responses.
One of the types of cancer in which MET signaling is increased is squamous cell carcinoma. What types of cells and cell-cell interactions are involved in that type of skin cancer?
Well, squamous cell carcinoma can develop in the lung, in the oral cavity, in the upper pharynx, in the esophagus, as well as in the skin. These are all lining epithelia which are exposed to the external environment and therefore exposed to carcinogenic agents. The cells in all of these tissues are very similar. They are what are called keratinocytes, either skin or esophageal or lung. These keratinocytes are specially developed cells to form a barrier to the external environment, but under certain conditions, when they transform, they form a type of cancer which is very characteristic, both in the skin and the esophagus and the other organs I mentioned. These cancers look like squames, that is the kinds of cells that are sloughed off of our skin normally. They form a disorganized collection of squame-like cells, but they're all developed from keratinocytes.
Squamous cell carcinomas, as you mentioned, can occur in different epithelial contexts, in different organs. But you use specifically a model of squamous cell carcinoma in the skin, a mouse model of increased HGF-MET signaling. Can you just describe that model?
Yeah, so this is an interesting model that was developed a number of years ago by our collaborator, Glenn Merlino. This model overexpresses HGF, the ligand, in all tissues. but particularly in the skin. When this model was first developed, they observed one very interesting feature of this model, and that is that melanocytes, which are part of the skin structure, in the mouse usually are located in the base of the hair follicle in pigmented mice. But in the presence of overexpression of HGF and activation of MET, melanocytes, whose migration is in fact determined by MET during embryonic development, move up into the upper part of the dermis, so they're much more similar to where melanocytes are in normal skin. They also observed in this model that if they exposed these mice to ultraviolet light, they would get melanomas. But they also got a few squamous cell carcinomas of the epidermis. So we were particularly interested in understanding how the squamous cell tumors developed. So here we had a model in which MET is activated in the epidermis by virtue of overexpression of HGF. So we treated these mice first with a chemical carcinogen known to produce tumors in skin, and found that in the presence of HGF and MET, there was a very large increase in tumor formation. Well, my lab has been particularly interested in the early events in squamous tumor development, that is, the earliest change from a normal cell to a neoplastic cell, even if it's a pre-malignant cell type. So we set out to study how MET could be enhancing squamous cell carcinoma development. And a little bit to our surprise, we discovered that, in fact, that you didn't need to have the chemical carcinogen, that, in fact, MET by itself was sufficient to induce benign tumors, that is, the first step in cancer development, in squamous cells in the skin. So this provided us with an unusual circumstance where we could look at what MET was doing biochemically within the cell to lead to tumor formation. We're hoping that the information we gain from studying the skin, squamous cell carcinomas in the skin, will also provide insight into squamous cell tumors in other organs such as head and neck cancers and esophageal and lung cancers.
Using that model, what did you find about how MET is involved in initiating the squamous cell carcinomas in the skin? Mechanistically, what is it doing? How is it triggering those cells to become cancerous?
We had been studying another oncogene for many years, that is RAS. And RAS is a very prominent oncogene in human cancer and one that we know will produce the benign tumor phenotype in our mouse skin model in the absence of any other mutation. So a single mutation in RAS is sufficient to produce a benign tumor from an otherwise normal keratinocyte. And we were quite surprised to find that the biochemistry of MET followed virtually identical biochemistry, that is, producing the same biochemical changes in keratinocytes that RAS produced. And the tumors that evolve were also identical to RAS-induced tumors. So this allowed us to do a comparison between what RAS does biochemically within keratinocytes, a single oncogenic change, and what MET does, a single epigenetic change, that is an elevated activity of a growth factor receptor, does. And the common denominator, it appeared, for both of these tumor-initiating events was activation of the epidermal growth factor receptor. And that's an important finding because drugs have already been developed for the epidermal growth factor receptor activation to inhibit that activation. And in fact, there are now a number of case reports of patients who have metastatic cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma. Generally, these patients die from this disease. It's often the common cause of death in patients who are immunosuppressed from organ transplantation. Patients have been treated with epidermal growth factor receptor inhibitors, and in fact, these patients have done very well. These are individual case reports without a well-controlled study, but hopefully this our work and others in the field would lead to a better study for this treatment in those patients who are at risk of dying from metastatic cutaneous squamous cell cancer.
You said that overactivation of MET stimulates signaling through EGFR through the same pathway or through a similar pathway as does RAS. does MET activate RAS, or are these independent parallel mechanisms for activating EGFR?
They work through virtually the same mechanism, which was, again, a big surprise to us. So activation of MET, activation of RAS independently of each other, both upregulate the transcription of the ligands for the EGF receptor. And the release is exactly the same for the two initiating agents as well. And it goes through a pathway which ends in a protease, a peptidase, called ADAM17. And ADAM17 is required to release the epidermal growth factor receptor ligands, which initially, when they're expressed from cells, are attached to the cell membrane and therefore can't work on the EGF receptor. But ADAM17, stimulated both by either by RAS or by MET, ADAM17 releases the ligands for the EGF receptor and allows them to interact with the receptor and activate the receptor.
The induction of EGFR signaling by MET is a very early event in squamous cell carcinoma development. And so those are the sorts of events that are going to be happening before the tumor is even diagnosed. Can you imagine any way to target these very early signaling events? Or do you think it would maybe just be used for treating squamous cell carcinoma that's become metastatic to prevent it from metastasizing?
So you ask, I think, the $64,000 question, because one would not expect that an early event in cancer development would be a therapeutic target later in the process when multiple mutations had taken place. And I think that's a very good point. It's also a very good point for treating tumors early before they metastasize or even before they're cancers. But the data suggests that, in fact, even though one would think this wouldn't be useful, it turns out that it appears to work, both in experimental models where a single oncogene is sufficient to reverse the growth of a very complex cancer with multiple mutations, simply by turning off the earliest event in the process. This has been seen for many cancers that are driven by a oncogene as the earliest event. So I think that even though it seems counterintuitive that a complex tumor with multiple mutations would respond to the earliest mutation or the earliest event, in the case of MET, it's generally not a mutation but an overexpression, I think that the data show us otherwise. Of course, skin cancer is by far the most common cancer, and although it's not the most lethal cancer, but by far there are more non-melanoma skin cancers than all other cancers combined. And it is a big medical problem because, number one, there is the chance that left unattended, it could end up being lethal. But number two, if one just talks about medical economics, we're talking about an enormous burden of treatment in the medical budget. You know, billions of dollars every year go to treating skin cancers, mostly by surgery. So I would opt to say that if we had a drug which could treat these cancers, particularly topically, early, then we would save patients, number one, some disfigurement from the surgery, number two, some risk of, or maybe that should be number one, some risk of a more lethal outcome. But number three, saving enormous amounts of dollars on the healthcare economic burden. So yes, I would say that development of a topical anti-EGFR or anti-MET, for example, drug, I think it's a worthwhile thing to do. And, you know, this is not just in skin. Skin is obvious because you can look at it and tell what's happening to the patient, both in terms of tumor development and tumor response. But most of the squamous cancers, I would dare to say all of the squamous cancers, both internal and external, have precursor lesions that are easily recognizable. So in the esophagus, you have the squamous metaplastic lesions and other lesions with other names that are precursors to cancer. In head and neck, the leukoplakias are precursors to cancer, and in the lung, the squamous metaplasias are precursors to cancers as well. So many of these cancers have identifiable early pre-malignant lesions, and they could perhaps be treated early enough so that they wouldn't progress to a more lethal disease.
Thanks, Stuart, for speaking with me.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure.
That was Stuart Yuspa discussing a paper published in the June 21st issue of Science Signaling by Kateyason and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. Thanks for listening.